so considerate. Well, good morning. Welcome to Kingswood United Methodist Church. We are in the midst of all sorts of activity here. Up on the screen, you can see some of the photos from Vacation Bible School this week. We're going to learn more about that as we go through the service, but it was a great time and had a great participation, and just exciting things happened. Things are happening with our youth ministry, and hopefully you noticed as you came in that there's a ton of kids down there washing cars and raising money for their mission efforts, and hope that you'll support them in that. And if you have a car and it's dirty, that you'll allow them to wash it. If you have a car and it's clean, that you'll still allow them to wash it. If you have a car and it's clean and you're in a hurry, that you'll make a donation. It all goes to missions, and God goes to support their Puerto Rico trip and all they've got on. I can tell you, with Jenna leading our children and with Michael leading our youth, we are in good hands, and I'm very excited about the future as we look at Kingswood and our children and youth. Hope you'll take a few moments and find the little friendship pad and fill that out and pass it down. Let us know about your attendance today. If you're visiting with us, I want you to take just a few extra moments, if you would, and find the visitor's card and fill that out for us. A lot of stuff to manage in your bulletin today, a lot of inserts. There's a sermon notes that we'll get to in a while, but I want you to turn past that and see the announcements of the church and all the things that are happening in our life and missions. A lot of things that you can get connected with here this summer at Kingswood. I don't have time to go over them all, but they're all important. Do want to lift up one or two. Tonight, there is a special service that's being held at Northbrook United Methodist Church, one of our sister churches over in the Roswell area. There's actually some directions in your church. It's a service that's sort of celebrating the connection. There's a special offering taken for Action Ministries, which is one of our fine ministries, connectional ministries. Alice Rogers, who teaches down at Candler School of Theology, and one of my favorite preachers, is going to be bringing the word to us. And then the group that I'm involved with, Wild at Heart, is going to be leading praise and worship. Hope you'll be able to be a part of that. Next Sunday is Father's Day, and we celebrate and honor our fathers, and we're going to give them some donuts. And so all dads are invited to go down to room 140 and enjoy some donuts on us next week as we celebrate Father's Day. There's some children's programs that are ongoing in the church this summer. The summer arts camp that Dennis is putting together. There's some children's summer fun. There's a kids' family movie night. So there's ways as family and families with children in particular to be involved with the church in a particular way. Summer times are good for this, and hope that you'll look at the dates and the activities that are going on and find ways to participate. Again, it is great to be here together at Kingswood this morning to celebrate and worship together on this Trinity Sunday. And as we begin, let's stand as we are able and turn around and find somebody that you haven't had a chance to greet. Let's have a time of fellowship. The life of the church, the Sunday after Pentecost, we celebrate the Trinity Sunday, realizing that God engages us and we encounter God in three persons: as the Father, the Creator, as the Son, our Redeemer, and as certainly as the Holy Spirit, as we celebrated last week and continue to celebrate as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit through the life of the church. This is Trinity Sunday. As we begin, if you will find your hymn book, Holy, 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 64, wonderful Trinitarian hymn, and we have a shared response there. If you'll find that, stand again and let us continue in worship. Trinity.
the transcendent glory, yet dearest parent, the awesome holiness, yet gracious brother, the fearsome light, yet closest friend. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we come to celebrate one bountiful God. Give to God, all you children of the stars.
Give to God all glory and power.
Give glory to God's sacred name.
And send a ray of thankful love.
Faith in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with a traditional Apostles' Creed found at page 881 in your hymnal. Sharing together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
be seated.
Friday at 12:30, we finished Vacation Bible School for this year, and I know that all the volunteers slept late on Saturday, at least I did, and I took a nap in the afternoon. But I wanted to let you know that we had 135 children ages 3 through 5th grade, and we had over 40 volunteers each day to help make everything happen. And I had more than one person who volunteered who doesn't attend this church say they have never helped at a Vacation Bible School where there are so many volunteers who didn't have any children in the program. So I was very proud of Kingswood this week. So if you were a volunteer doing anything at all, if you provided food, if you helped in any way, I'd like you to stand so we can recognize y'all. And I also want to have a special recognition for Carolyn Friedline and Dondra Davis, who are very hard coordinators. And it's always a mystery who is our puppeteer. And this year we had Dr. Who, or just who? Professor Who, sorry. And Professor Who, for all of you kids who didn't know who it was Carolyn Clifton. So if you want to stand with your Professor Who, thank you. And also, our mission project this year was to help raise money for Joe and Annabelle Pyle's trip to Honduras next month. And I'm proud to tell you that the children raised over $300 to give them. And I hope that if you haven't contributed to them, that you will, after the service, meet them in the narthex and help us continue that effort. So if all the VBS children will come forward, they're going to have a special presentation. And now, if all the children who weren't in VBS want to come sit down front with me, we'll have a front row seat. If there aren't any children left, come on up. Or if any adults want to come up and have a front row seat with me, that's good too.
Our theme this week was treasure seekers. Each day we went digging in scripture for God's promises.
Take all we wanna do.
the first day, our treasure was a heart to remind us that God always loves us, even when we may be difficult to love.
On the second day, our treasure was a magnifying glass to remind us that God looks at each of us differently. God knows what is in our hearts and knows what we are capable of doing.
On the third day, our treasure was a jewel to remind us that we are treasured by Jesus. Jesus watches over us like a shepherd watches over the sheep. On the fourth day, our treasure was a cross to remind us that God forgives us. In fact, Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins.
On the last day, our treasure was a compass to remind us that Jesus will be with us wherever we go.
Well, there's one person we did not, Jenna did not thank,
and that was herself.
And we do thank Jenna for all the leadership she brings to us, but particularly in children's ministry and Vacation Bible School. So let's show Jenna our appreciation. We do have a lot to be thankful for and to celebrate, and our children are certainly at the top of the list. As we come to our prayer time, as we think of our celebrations, I also have a few concerns to lift to you. Betsy Daugherty and Jimmy Morris both are at Mariner Healthcare at this time, recovering, having some rehabilitation following surgery. And both are doing well and on the mend, but we continue to pray and support them. We also want to pray for the family of Pam Adams, Pam and Al Adams. Many of you know Al is faithful usher, and Pam has been involved in so many things. Pam's mother passed away this latter part of this week. This afternoon from 2 to 4, there will be a visitation at the funeral home on Peachtree and Industrial Boulevard, Oglethorpe, Patterson's Oglethorpe. And then tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m., there will be a graveside service at Arlington. And I know that many of you will want to find ways to express your sympathy and support to Pam during this time. And then we want to lift up the North Georgia Annual Conference that's meeting this week. I'll be saying some more about that during the sermon.
But we do want to lift that up as well. Now let's bow our heads as we go to prayer. Lord God, Creator of the heavens and earth, there are times when we stand in Your presence and we feel small, minuscule, as one feels standing among huge old trees while looking up. And there are times when we are in Your presence that we feel that we are Your most important creation, that we feel like we're held in Your arms and cradled in Your mercy and grace. We thank You, O God, for the beauty of creation, for eyes to see signs of You and the colors and designs, for ears to hear You through music and words and worship. We thank You for loving us just as we are, for leading us to places where we grow in knowledge of You. Oh God, our lives are not the same 2 days in a row. Moment to moment, we experience change, and sometimes we find ourselves trying to hang on to the past as one clings to a rock of security when adrift in a river of fast-moving water. Lord, give us courage. Give us trust. Allow us to have the peace that passes understanding and to embrace the changes that You bring to us. Oh God, I'm aware that even as we gather on this particular Sunday, that some of us are here needing Your love and grace in a very special way, needing to understand Your call in their lives. We pray, oh God, that You would meet each person at their point of name. Help, oh God, for us to dig deep, into our lives so that we may discover the treasures that are there. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that bring us together. And we especially pray now the words that Jesus taught His disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen."
Oh,
seated, please.
The ushers would come forward as we receive our morning offering. Oh God, give us tender hearts, hearts that are shaped by your Spirit, that are willing to be generous, that are willing to be courageous, that are willing to be the kind of hearts that would be led by you in all things. As you soften our hearts this morning, use these offerings to do your work, to serve your kingdom, and to further your love. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. I'm going to give a chance for the choir to come down. Would. Starting a three-part sermon series this week called Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And we're looking at community and the various ways in which we encounter and experience community.
Searching for ways to share your gifts with others and possibly even receive something in return. Our hearts, our minds, and our doors are always open. The people of the United Methodist Church.
Little underlying text that I have for this series comes from Ecclesiastes. It's a beautiful little text. It's on your screen. It's also in your sermon outline if this is helpful to you. I know it is to some people. It's really a very simple presentation this morning. It's not a whole lot of flash to it, but if that is helpful for you as you follow along. But it comes from Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. I've used this text a lot, maybe you've heard it a lot, in weddings. And why it works so beautifully there is you talk about the husband and the wife and then God. Those three coming together make a very strong connection. Those three cords coming together make it where they're not, can't easily be broken. And so that's a good metaphor, that's a good image. But it also works when we think about community in general. And that's why I'm using this as sort of an overarching theme verse for us to think about, you know, the things that we are joined together with. In three weeks, I'm going to be talking about the family. And certainly we are connected to our family and we're connected to God. And those three strands coming together. Next week, we're going to look at the local church and the work that we do here as we come together as friends in Christ together as the local church community. But this week, we're going to start with the church universal or the church specifically within our denomination. We're going to be looking at the United Methodist Church. I try to do this about every 2 or 3 years to just sort of talk about the United Methodist Church. And why I am proud to make my spiritual home in the United Methodist Church. I'll give a disclaimer up front. This is really very simple. This is not a theological treatise. This was me just sitting down in my office and just writing some things that I love and that I appreciate about our denomination that I think that make us strong. And as we come together as community, we are not joined just together as a local church apart. We're a part of something bigger. We are part of a connectional church called the United Methodist Church. And I want to take just a while for us to celebrate that and understand what it is that we're connected to as we think about the greater community. I want to say a couple of words of disclaimer right up front, though. First of all, if you're here and you're from another denomination, I hope you won't take any offense to this. If I say something, you know, that's kind of poking fun at another group, or if I say something that sounds sort of harsh about a church and a denomination, we know that we're not perfect, our denomination. In fact, that's one of the things that I love about us. We know we don't have the corner on it all. But just as a person who has been a lifelong United Methodist, there's things that I'm proud about our church. And so just take it with a grain of salt as I move through some of those points. And also, I want to say that I am mostly concerned with us being Christian. And understand that those aren't mutually exclusive, being a Christian and being a United Methodist. But, you know, we are primarily and foremost Christian. And in that, the day of denominationalism is at least changing. Some people say it's over, but it is at least changing and is different than it once was. And just to sort of illustrate this, how many of you have been a member now, not just attend, you've been a member of another church other than United Methodist at any time in your life, if you'll raise your hand? Okay, wow. I preached a variation of this sermon for probably going back 10 or 12 years, and it used to be about half. Now it's like 70 or 80%. And, you know, that I'm not saying whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just the way things are. People are choosing churches for different reasons than denomination as they once did. People are choosing them based on location and programs and friends and other things that draw people to join a church. And so, as I say, I'm not saying whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a different thing. There was a day and an age that wasn't really that too long, maybe just a generation or two back, where people were fiercely denominational. I mean, my parents, they didn't even date outside the denomination. You know what I mean? And they moved to a new town. The first thing you look, you never think about going to any church except, you know, a Methodist church or a Baptist church or whatever denomination works. But that day and age has changed and is changing. And that's just part of who we are. But what I have noticed is that when people do come and join our church and become a part of who we are, they do want to know what it is that United Methodists believe. And we believe some very profound and very important things. And granted, if you get up about the 5-mile view and you're looking down, all the churches believe a lot of the same things, whether denominational or non-denominational. There's a lot of similarities. But if you get closer and you get up close, you begin to notice the differences. And we United Methodists are a peculiar people. And I want to talk about some of our peculiarities as we come together and we connect those strands as we, as a local church, are connected to God as we are connected to other United Methodist Church. That strong connection of the United Methodist Church and who we are. And did I give you the little equation yet? I didn't give you a little equation. This is going to work all 3 weeks. Okay, the first blank is however you want to put the first person, me or I or myself or whatever, plus God, plus others, equals community. We are in this world with other people. What makes us strong is community and understanding those relationships. It's just not me. It's just not me and Jesus by ourselves. You know, it's me, God, and you guys. We're a community as we come together. We're joined together. That's what makes it strong. And understanding the relationships and the give and the take and the accountability and the affirmation and the challenges that are within that is what makes us strong as communication. So just moving along pretty quickly here through some things. Again, this is not a theological treatise. You know, there's a time and place for that. And we probably need to spend more time on what are some specific beliefs that are Wesleyan beliefs. This is just me thinking about things that I love about our church and I notice about our church and I believe are and for the most part true about our church. The first one is this, that we are Christ-centered. United Methodists are Christ-centered. By that I mean that we are not Pope-centered, we are not preacher-centered, we are not dogma-centered, we are Christ-centered. We look at Jesus Christ and we read the Gospels and we center ourselves on that. From time to time, people will come to me and they say, "Preacher, are you liberal or are you conservative? Because from your preaching, we have no idea." And that used to make me mad. But I have over time to come up with an answer for that, and that is, yes. People ask me if I'm liberal or conservative. I say yes. Because that's what I mean by being Christ-centered. As a United Methodist, I think that kind of defines the church. And I know there are people on the right and the people on the left who wish that we were more the other way. But I think that we are both things because we are Christ-centered and we are trying to attempt to do what Christ does. And as you read the Bible and you read the Gospels, sometimes Jesus sounds pretty liberal. And you read other places and Jesus sounds pretty conservative. And I am neither ashamed of being liberal or conservative as long as we are trying to be like Christ. And I really believe, and some people may split some hairs with me on that, I really believe that is the way our denomination as a whole is. We try to be Christ-centered and it moves us in different directions that don't necessarily follow political strands. We are trying to be Christ like Christ. We are trying to be Christ-centered. We are Christ-centered. And I believe that is one of the things that makes us strong as a connection. We are positive people. By and large, United Methodists are positive. If you've ever seen the play, not the movie, but if you've ever seen the play, the Tennessee Williams play, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, there's a great scene that has one of my favorite quotes in it. And Sonny is talking to Big Daddy. He says, "Big Daddy, you were more interested with what was right than what was good. You were so interested in right, what was right, you could not see what was good." In the United Methodist Church, we are positive people. There are so many churches out there that I see that are so angry. They're angry about this, and they're angry about that, and they use Scripture to sort of kind of bash people, and they're just angry, and if you start peeling that onion away, what you find is there's really a lot of fear there, and so it's fear-based, and that makes them anger-based, and we're just not like that. We're positive. We don't believe that God does bad things to people. We look for the good. We look for the positive. Now, you can go on the other side and you can see exceptions to that. But generally speaking, if you go to United Methodist Church, everyone that I've ever been a part of, and as I'm around Methodist, generally speaking, as opposed to other flavors of folks from around, we are positive people. Looking for the good, looking for the possibility, looking for the positive. We are positive people, and that is what makes us strong. And that is, as we come connected to that, that's what we're about. Ours is a personal faith. Ours is a personal faith. This is important. Ours is a personal faith because we believe that it's important that every individual person have a relationship with God, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is an individual. It's not, you don't have to come to the preacher. You don't have to come to some sort of set of things. You come to Christ. And it really doesn't require anything. To understand that God is working in your life and speaking to you and challenging you to grow in Him. Now, our personal faith does need to be checked. It does need to be checked. Let's face it, there's some people out there that believe some pretty weird things. And so we have a way of doing that. We have a way of checking it. We use Scripture and we use tradition. We look at what has been taught by the church through the generations. And we use experience, the shared experience of the faithful. And then we use reason to that. We use those things together to check that. But it's a personal thing. You know, you don't have to just go down some laundry list. It's a personal faith. The fourth thing, we are balanced. We are balanced. We believe in saving souls, but we also believe in saving the human condition. We don't believe that Jesus came into this world just to save us from hell's, flames. We believe that, but we also believe that He came so that people could know life and know it in its abundance, and that we can make a difference and participate in changing the human condition. When John Wesley sent missionaries over here to America, they came and they preached and they saved souls and they evangelized, but they also set about and did a lot of work towards the abolition of slavery. And United Methodists have always been on the forefront of a lot of civil rights movements. And if you look in over the years in women's rights, particularly in the right to vote, the United Methodists were the forefront of that in the civil rights movement. I have to be honest with you. Our record has not always been so hot when it comes to civil rights. But yet, we're working for that. We're trying to repent for that and trying to get it right and to do it better. We are balanced in that. We are traditional. We are contemporary. We are high church. We are low church. We are male. We are female. We were old. We are young. We are balanced. We are diverse. And we believe in that diversity comes our strength. We are balanced. Number five. We believe in theological freedom. We believe in theological freedom. And by that, there are some churches that have this whole laundry list of things that you just have got to adhere to and you've got to follow to be a part of that church. And we just realize that people are going to see things differently. Yes, there are some essentials But we understand that within that it's going to be diversity. And from the very beginning, I know there's some revisionists that come back and try to say that it wasn't that way. But from the very beginning, that's the way we have been in a movement. John Wesley said what? He said, you know, we're not all going to, you know, believe the same thing. We're not always going to be all on the same page and all that. But if your heart is like my heart, give me your hand. He said this, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. From the very beginning, that's who we are. And we work together and we struggle with that. But we don't all, you know, there are some folks like that get very frustrated with that about us. You know, and they just have those kind of minds that have to have no color, no ambiguity, got to have everybody on the same page. But we look at this as one of our strengths. It's part of what we do in our conferencing is come together and try to work on these issues, realizing that nobody has got a corner on it all. That we're all sinners saved by grace, trying to discover truth and trying to apply it to our lives. Number six, we are not afraid of reason. Okay? We want you to bring your Bibles to church, but we don't ask you to check your brain at the door. The Protestant Reformationers, had this thing about that faith in search of reason. Our faith in search of reason. And realizing that, you know, our faith is always going to be a couple of steps ahead of some reason. But we don't ask you to leave that behind. That we can work on that and discover that. Realizing that it's faith primarily. But we can also look at other ways in which God is working through the sciences and through other dimensions to reveal God's self to us. And I think that goes back again, and I've mentioned him a couple of times, to our founder, John Wesley. John Wesley was not a systematic theologian. John Wesley, in that I mean that he did not write down and write out a theology and doctrine that had to have everything lined up and say that everything is so like this. He didn't have time for that. He was too busy out there saving souls and touching and healing the poor and working to make a difference. He didn't have a time to do that. But let me tell you something about John Wesley. He was a very, very intelligent man. His parents were both of his parents were very well read, very well educated. Both of them were authors. That's the environment he grew up in. His mother taught him all sorts of languages, and he read the Bible and studied in all his languages. He was an Oxford Don. He would go on to write volumes and volumes and volumes of work. And so from the very beginning, you know, we have had this education and reason to be a part of who we are as a movement. And when the church came to America and when it spread westward, one of the highest goals that we had always was higher learning and higher education. And if you look around at colleges and universities and institutions, many of them have a Methodist connection. Some of them, the connection is not quite so strong as it once was, but there are a lot of them that still are because that's part of our heritage. And if you look at like Syracuse University and Duke University and, Southern Methodist University and it goes on and on. I myself am a product of three different Methodist colleges and universities. Young Harris College, Emory University, and then Drew University, all Methodist-related, Methodist-connected schools. LaGrange College is a great college that's here in town. There's probably about 7 or 8 Methodist-related colleges and universities here in Georgia. Now, at the first service, I talked about this, and I left out Wofford. It's where Jenna went, and also Don Stevens. And so I have to say that Wofford College, a fine little college over in South Carolina, is that where it is? Tennessee? Where is South Carolina? As a Methodist related school. How many of you went to a Methodist related college or university at some time? I see a lot of them. It's always been a part of who we are. We are not afraid of reason. We are ecumenical. We are ecumenical. And that's because we are, you know, we're so secure in what we believe and we realize we don't have a corner on it all. So sometimes we have to engage with people that are from different stripes than we are. And so, therefore, we'll work with Baptists and Presbyterians and Catholics. We'll work with interfaith folks, doing things in the community to make a difference. There's an old story about Winston Churchill. And they asked Winston Churchill, you know, he had political opponent. His name was Mr. Attlee. And he said, Mr. Churchill, can you say something positive about Mr. Attlee? And he said, yes, I can. Now, Mr. Attlee is a very humble man. Indeed, Mr. Attlee has much to be humble about. And that's how we are. We know that we have a lot to be humble about, and we don't have it all. And sometimes we have to join with other people to really reach goals of making a difference in the world. And so we are ecumenical in that. So we reach across denominations lines and sometimes across faith lines to join with other faith communities, to join with other community groups in making a difference in the world. And finally, the last thing that I want to talk about, and it's probably the most important for the context of this sermon, is that we are connectional. We are connectional. And this is different from some other denominations, in that we are connected in many, many different ways with every other United Methodist Church. Not just the Dunwoody First United Methodist Church across the way there, but across the Atlanta Roswell district, this area, I think there is somewhere around 80 churches. Sometimes I forget the number, that are part of this Atlanta Roswell district. And within that district, that is connected to a bunch of other churches. And I think the last count I heard on that was like 985 churches across North Georgia. And they're connected in what they call the North Georgia Annual Conference. And all those churches are connected to the North Georgia Conference with a bunch of other conferences that are in across the Southeast, South Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, all the way up to Virginia. All of those come together in what they call the Jurisdictional Conference. And those are all connected together. And then that's all part of the Methodist Church, the General Methodist Church, and that is called the General Conference. And at every level, there's accountabilities. At every level, there's missions and ministries going on. And, you know, it's that old saying about the sum is always greater than the whatever thing is equal to parts. There are things that we can do together that we can never do individually. As I look about across, you know, our North Georgia, and I think of places like Wesley Woods, and I think of places like Camp Glisson, I think of ministries like Action Ministry and Wesley Community Center and just a whole host of others, that our connection comes together to do it. We could never do that just as Kingswood United Methodist Church. No church could do that by themselves, but all of us coming together and reasoning together and working together can be a part of that, and really be a part of furthering the kingdom of Christ in the world. We've always been big on conferencing ever since the very beginning. John Wesley brought his ministers together for conferencing, and this next week there will be a group of folks that will be gathering, delegates, representatives from Methodist across North Georgia, as I said. And North Georgia Conference is sort of a line that goes from Augusta to Columbus, although Columbus is in the South Georgia, come a little bit north of that, and then go all the way up to the North Georgia border, across from Blairsville and Clayton, and through Blue Ridge and all that. All of that area is the North Georgia Conference. And those folks will come together this week, and we'll be together to do some business, to do some worship, to celebrate some things. And it'll be a great time. We, as a church, send representatives. And then for every minister in the conference, there is also a lay equivalent. So there, it's not just a gathering of preachers, it's a gathering of lay people and preachers together to come together. And so I want to recognize this morning in a special way our delegates that are going from our church. And I think most of them are here, or a lot of them are here. Perry Michael, Perry, if you'll come down. Perry's one of our lay delegates. Gary, I didn't see Gary Fuller here. He's what? He's at a baptism, okay. And then we also have some folks that are sort of at large from the district going and representing. And that is Jack Camarda is going from our church as a district representative. And T. Ross, is T. here this morning? Did I see T.? And then We have clergy people that go represented as well, and Jenna Mobley, along with myself, will be going to the annual conference this week. So, Jenna, if you'll come up. And then Carolyn Clifton, who is an elder in full connection and is on family leave, but still very active in not only her work here at Kingswood in Missions, but she's also on the Homeless Council, the Housing and Homeless Council, and works still with that. And I wanted us just to have a chance to pray for these folks and to celebrate our connections a little bit by making sure that we undergird these folks with prayer this week as they do the work. Let's pray. Great God, we're thankful for your love and your grace. And we are thankful for community and how we need it, Lord. How we need other people in our lives to help us see you and help us to be all that we can be. We're thankful for the community of our families and for the love and support that we have there. And we're thankful for the community of the local church and all our friendships and all of our work that we do here alongside one another, the support that we give and the work that we do. But we also this morning, Lord, in a very special way, thank you for the community of the United Methodist Church and for this community that we're a special part of and for the love that we receive from other churches, but also the ability to reach out together and to do your work. So I pray, Lord, that you grant us special wisdom this week as we meet together, that you would guide us and help us to make wise decisions, that you would hold us accountable to one another, that you would help us to celebrate and to become as one with one another, as we are drawn together by your Spirit. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The first little video I showed was part of the Igniting Ministries commercial campaign, but it's a beautiful little image of a woman seeking to share her gift with someone. And the line is that, you know, if you're looking for a place to share your gift and maybe even receive a gift in return, our hearts, our minds, and our doors are open. And I want to say to you that our hearts, our minds, and our doors are open. And I know that that as we gather at the end of this service, that there may be those who want to connect, that have a gift to share in a special way. And I invite you, as we sing our closing hymn, to come forward and to join with us in mission and ministry. Our closing hymn is an interesting one as well. And Are We Yet Alive is a hymn text that was written by Charles Wesley, John's brother. Charles was instructed by John to write, and it's been said about Methodists that we sing our faith. But he was instructed to write our faith in these hymn texts. And so there's just great, wonderful theology that's embedded in all. But this particular hymn text, which is sung to the tune of "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds," to that hymn tune, is one that has opened every conference from the very beginning. This Tuesday afternoon, when we officially begin conference, the very first act of business will be for the folks there to stand and to sing this song and respond to this question, "And Are We Yet Alive?" And then we'll sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." You're invited.
And are we yet alive, and see each other's face, glory and thanks to Jesus give, for His almighty grace. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds, is like to that
do me a favor and reach out and take somebody's hand. We don't have to join every hand together, but if you'll at least be connected with someone, I want to do that as a reminder that we are connected to one another. We are not alone. We are not in this world alone. We need one another. We need to be in community. But unseen present, but as much a part of us as the hand that is there with you, is God's presence with us. That's truly what makes us strong. Coming together as community, brothers and sisters, families, friends, coming together in community as led by God's Spirit. Keep that strong connection and go in God's grace. Amen.